Welcome to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast, presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy, is part of a series of topics taking you, our listeners, from concept to construction and beyond on many different levels of the Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting process.
And with each episode, we'll walk you through a different aspect of performance contracting. On this podcast, we'll walk down the path of selecting an energy service company, or an ESCO. The process of selecting an ESCO is usually a little different in states that have developed performance contracting programs than those that haven't. And today, we're going to direct our focus to a typical process used by states that do have these programs.
Well, you might be wondering, what do you guys mean when you say states that have performance contracting programs? And how does that really advantage you as the owner in the ESCO? Well, state programs are usually developed around their specific performance contracting enabling legislation. They differ. State-developed and supported programs provide an increased confidence and capability level to performance contracting and also streamline the process of developing and building comprehensive and effective projects. These states have rallied around this concept and built consensus in their finance, legal, procurement, and landlord authorities. From there, the leader states have developed standardized contract documents that align with their enabling legislation, developed a set of rules for projects. Some have even provided a source for oversight. And for most of these leader states, the state has created a pool of providers, pre-qualified ESCOs, that are sanctioned by the state and provide performance contracting services under the state's program.
And while we could spend a good bit of time talking about the standardized documents and state performance contracting programs, in this episode, we're looking at how you might select an energy service company. The ESCO selection process is typically a multi-step process. First thing you should do is contact your state's energy office to find out if your state has a performance contracting program, and if so, check to see if there is a pool of state pre-qualified providers. If there is, it would be a good idea to get a list of those ESCOs. This would be the pool that you would likely choose from for your performance contracting project, ESCOs that are pre-qualified under your state's program's criteria. Most, if not all, states with programs have such a list, and that's one of the many advantages to working with a statewide program. The pool of pre-qualified ESCOs has already successfully undergone a competitive procurement evaluation and selection process by the state. The list we've seen in states vary in number, from perhaps just a few to a dozen or more. It's perhaps a little like starting with a field of players who already have your state's seal of approval.
That certainly is one of the advantages to be working in a state with pre-qualified providers list. And here's just a couple others. You know, the state procurement office, the state energy office, and maybe even other authorities in the state have taken the time to vet the companies eligible to do work in the state. The ESCOs are vetted for their expertise, experience, their reputation, and their financial wherewithal. And these ESCOs have agreed to follow all of the state's program rules. Bottom line, what you get from a state program's pre-qualification process is a list of companies capable of doing the job and dedicated to following the state's process and procedures. So dedicated, in fact, that they've entered into a base contract binding that commitment.
That's really an important point, Dale. It's typically a state-developed base contract that benefits both you and the ESCOs by speeding up your selection process. And some states, whether through their legislation or by choice, extend all their program provisions to non-state governmental units, such as municipalities, counties, and school districts, to mention just a few. So the pre-approved ESCO list may be available to them as well.
Well, you're so right, John. And by creating a base contract and pre-qualifying providers, the state is basically saying that these ESCOs have earned their spot on the list. And if an ESCO doesn't perform, well, they can also be removed from the list. For every owner, whether a state agency or a local unit of government project owner, this pre-qualification and binding agreement to abide by the enabling statute and program guidance is a giant step forward in helping to ensure a successful project.
That is a powerful message, Dale. As we said earlier, the main intent of a state's program is to provide trust in the performance contracting concept and processes so that you can more confidently consider performance contracting as a serious option for your needs. The ESCOs on the list have all made a commitment to the state's program through their base contract, but the very same commitment extends to you as well through the rules and provisions in their base contract. They must provide you their performance contracting services under strict guidance of the state's program.
Yeah, we've seen the most success in states that have established pre-qualified providers. While it speeds the process of an owner's ESCO selection, it also establishes that foundation. The pre-qualified ESCOs have not only the financial wherewithal to support a guarantee of performance and savings, but the know-how and experience to deliver the project and to appropriately conduct measurement and verification, truly validating that the savings have been achieved that pay for the work of the project. Still, all of this is just one step in your ESCO selection process. At this point, it becomes the owner's secondary selection process that really guides the final selection of which ESCO to indeed fulfill your project.
It's very typical that institutions have their own established process for soliciting, evaluating, and selecting contractors and vendors. But here's a common scenario that we've seen work well. The project owner assembles a bit of information for what they'd like a project to involve, which facilities that will be included, identify a point person and timeline that they envision for their project. This gets released to the pre-qualified ESCO list as a solicitation where a number of things can happen, and that solicitation may be an RFQ or an RFP. The ESCOs may be offered an opportunity then to join a walkthrough of your facilities, kind of like a traditional pre-bid meeting. The owner talks about what they want their project to achieve and offers a tour of their facilities so that the ESCOs get a preliminary sense of the conditions and status of the sites. If an ESCO remains interested in your project, they are generally asked to submit what typically can be called their proposal, in which they present their initial ideas relating specifically to your stated needs, as well as their strengths to best manage and successfully complete a project like the one you envisioned. The process allows the owner to evaluate each company's proposal and ultimately develop a short list of ESCOs that offers enough potential that you want to learn more about them. Then the next step is to invite them to participate in oral interviews. A very important note about interviews. In your invitation, make it known to those ESCOs that you want them to bring their team of people that will be assigned directly to your project. In this way, you can get a pretty good idea if there would be a good fit for your staff. In our experience, the oral interviews are one of the most critical steps to getting to know your potential ESCO. During interviews, very important for you and your selection team to take really good notes to be able to provide the grounds for scoring the companies and to validate the decisions that are made later.
Well, and I just would say too, if these oral interviews are the first time you've held interviews for a performance contract, we really pretty much urge you to get help from your state, from a peer, or from an experienced third party that can help you know what to ask to help you find the best fit. Remember, this is your opportunity to ask the questions that address the issues that you want addressed. And don't neglect to ask the uncomfortable questions either. Like, well, have you ever had a project that didn't generate the guaranteed savings? And if so, did you ever cut a check for the shortfall amount? Why do you think that happened, and how will you prevent this from happening on our project, just to mention a few?
In the end, this is your procurement process, and as the owner, you'll have your own criteria to evaluate, judge, and select. Your criteria may come from your procurement history or with the assistance of the state program administrator or perhaps a knowledgeable third party.
Equally important in finding the best fit is to really check references. Now, this is a pretty well reinforced concept in procurement circles that you should reach out and talk to the people about their experiences. You know, questions like, how did it go? What do you wish these folks would have done differently? What's the best part about working with that particular company? And you know, it's not just about the construction, but about the investment grade audit and post-construction services as well. You'll likely have a multi-year finance repayment contract, so be sure to ask the references about how their cost savings looked throughout the entire period, not just up front, not just after the first year. How did their ESCO manage the necessary changes that you needed to make in your buildings? Did the ESCO's original team remain on the project for the length of the contract, or were new ESCO personnel assigned frequently? It really is important to know the legacy of the ESCO's projects. Have they historically performed both physically and financially?
But don't just check the references of the best projects. Ask the ESCOs about their worst case projects as well and how they responded to any of the issues. These are some of the things you need to know so you can make the best choice of an ESCO and enter into a performance contract with the confidence that your facility and financial needs are going to be met, especially that the guaranteed energy cost savings will continue to pay for the project over its entire finance period.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about is how to weigh in money in this selection process. In conventional procurement decisions, folks generally look for the lowest cost responsible bid. And while that concept is proven successful where there's a well-defined scope of work or services, it's simply just not the case with performance contracting. After all, you're entering into a long-term relationship with the company. Knowing that they have the qualifications to meet all phases of the project is critically important. Not just that they're the lowest first cost provider. As well, don't overlook the value of the ESCO's ability to maximize energy and energy cost savings.
That last point is a really great point, Dale. The highest value for public owners is getting the most work done that will be paid for from the energy and dollars to be saved. So, as you consider performance contracting, we can't emphasize enough that if there are reliable resources working within your state's program, reach out to them for guidance and support. And keep in mind, there are also independent performance contracting experts that you may also call on.
Well, we hope we've covered just some of the questions that are front and center as you explore and navigate the ESCO selection process. Join us next time as we dig in deeper to the selection process for those without state programs and how that process differs. GESPCU, see you next time.